imagine buying this state-of-the-art electrical system to save space in your new restaurant, right?
Yeah, and then you find out you legally have to leave this massive empty cube of air in front of it forever.
Exactly. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are exploring a stack of technical guides and electrical codes regarding, well, compact switchboards for small facilities.
Right, and our mission here is to uncover why shrinking your electrical footprint is actually a thermal problem, not an electrical one.
Okay, let's unpack this. Compact switchboards aren't actually a separate product category, are they?
No, they're not. They are this awkward size class sitting right between those massive freestanding switchboards and the smaller wall-mounted panel boards.
Right, so think of it like taking four messy, separate breaker boxes scattered around a building and consolidating them all into one sleek, supervised, lockable cabinet.
Which sounds great on paper, right?
Oh, totally. I mean, the main benefit for you is that you buy back valuable floor area.
Yeah, packing all that electrical distribution into one small cabinet might save space on an architect's floor plan, but it introduces a major physical constraint, which is heat.
Heat, right.
Sizing a compact switchboard is a thermal problem before it is an electrical one. The international standards actually handle this with something called the Rated Diversity Factor, or RDF.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, it's essentially a hard cap on the continuous simultaneous loading of your outgoing circuits.
Wait, if my statistical load calculations say the cables and the transformer can handle the power, why can't I just use all the space in the box?
See, that is a very common trap.
I mean, if there's an empty slot for a breaker, I should be able to plug one in and use it, right?
Well, statistical diversity lets you shrink the supply cable and the transformer, yes, because not every machine in a building runs at full blast all the time.
Right, that makes sense.
But that statistical estimate does not let you exceed the assembly's physical thermal limit. When you shrink the board, the bus bars, the bare copper conductors carrying the heavy current have much tighter spacing.
Ah, they're physically closer together.
Exactly, and that proximity raises mutual heating. So leaving two spare blank spaces in a full board buys you absolutely nothing for future expansion if the bus bar is already sitting at its maximum operating temperature.
Oh, wow. So it's less like a sleek appliance and more like cramming 50 people into a tiny elevator.
That is a great way to put it, yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if the elevator cables can mathematically hold the weight. The collective body heat alone is going to make it completely unbearable inside.
Yes,
So if
exactly.
the inside of this box is running that hot, you obviously can't just jam it into an unventilated broom closet to save even more space.
You really can't.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, the irony of these systems is that compact does not mean close. The National Electrical Code strictly regulates the empty space around the board.
Regardless of how small the actual box is, right?
Right. Shrinking the board never shrinks the required clearance in front of it. The code demands strict working clearances, usually around 3 feet or like 900 millimeters, of mandatory empty air right in front of the board.
Just permanent empty air.
Just mandatory empty air. In fact, simply storing stock or inventory in front of the board is the number one most commonly cited violation on any electrical inspection.
I can definitely see that. I mean, people see empty space and naturally want to use it.
Exactly. And while we're on the topic of very common, easily avoidable failures, another huge one comes down to simple physics, which is painted bonding faces.
Painted bonding faces.
Yeah, someone paints over a metal door bond to make it look nice, forgetting that paint is a fantastic insulator.
Oh no.
By doing that, they've accidentally severed the safety ground path, completely ruining the earthing arrangement.
That is wild. A cosmetic touch-up literally ungrounds the safety system.
Yeah. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the true dividing line between a compact board and a standard one isn't the amperage.
What is it then?
It's access. Compact switchboards are front access only.
Wait, if they're only accessible from the front, and all the cables and terminations are packed so tightly together inside, how do you safely work on just one circuit in the back?
That's the catch. You
Why is
can't.
it kidding?
Because everything is layered front to back in such tight quarters, a simple 10-minute maintenance job on a single circuit means you have to isolate and shut down the entire assembly.
So if your business cannot survive a planned shutdown, like if you can't just turn off the lights and computers for the whole building, you have to buy a standard board.
Precisely. A compact board is cheaper right up until the first outage you cannot schedule. You are really just paying for that access.
So what does this all mean? Ultimately, you have to size your board based on heat and clearance, not just how nice and tiny it looks on a floor plan drawing.
Definitely. You have to plan for the physical reality of the space.
Which leaves us with this final thought. As our small businesses and buildings become smarter and require increasingly more technology, will that mandatory empty working space around our electrical boards eventually become the most fiercely contested real estate in commercial design?